And a very good morning to you. This is a Friday. It is the 26th day of February 2021, and it's a minute after 10 o'clock. Usually on Fridays at this time, the voice you would hear on this end of the microphone would be David Ellis, the host for our Friday's Brass Tacks program. And I'd be sitting in the chair that is currently occupied by John Stout, who today will be our technical operator producer, taking us through to 2 in the afternoon. But today it's a bit of a different type of day. It's a special type of day because we're celebrating the work and the achievements of station manager David Ellis as he celebrates on this day his birthday and his attainment of 65 years and what is being called the time of his retirement, and I'm using that term until I hear otherwise. Over 26 years ago, David Ellis did something that I don't think had been done before. He asked a regular caller if he'd like to host the program. And the Nation newspaper on that October, I think it was the weekend edition, headlined David Ellis's Gamble, and the subhead read, Tries to Make a Regular Caller a Moderator. It is my honor and great pleasure this morning to say thank you, happy birthday, and good morning to the gambler, David Ellis. Good morning to you, sir.
Thank you very much, Dennis. In every field of human endeavor, you have to take chances. You win some and you lose some. When I took the opportunity of gambling, as you called it, I gambled with Dennis Johnson, the moderator. Little did I expect that I would get, along with that package or in that package, Dennis Johnson, the broadcaster, who in particular has mastered the music on this radio station in a way that has just been a marvel to many. And therefore, I got far more than I bargained for on that occasion. Over the years, I have played a role in bringing quite a number of people into broadcasting because in the various roles that I played, you may recall that I would have started at Starcom as a senior reporter. And then I moved from senior reporter to being the director of news and current affairs. I moved from director of news and current affairs to programming. In a sense, I never lost control and responsibility for the news and current affairs section. I carry that right through, even to the role that I've recently been playing as station manager since 2017. And in that particular role, especially as program manager, I served as program manager on 2 separate occasions. It was absolutely necessary to look for talent. But when it came to something like Down to Brass Tacks, this is something that you would always have to keep uppermost in your mind when you're doing the job. You go out in the field and you sit down. I remember one day going to a function with my wife at Barclays, and as it then was. And I heard this person as an MC doing this job. And I said, but this person sounds good. And I approached the person, and lo and behold, it became a broadcaster too. And that person is Pearson Bowen, who is with CBC. Brass Tacks, we've tried all sorts of things in Brass Tacks. There are other people that we've tried as well, but you fitted in exceedingly well. And that's the way it has to be. It is, you do it, it is all part of the job. You look for talent. The whole idea here, though, is that I've always said that the airwaves can hold as many of us as possible who can bring our styles and different approaches, our talent to the airwaves. And all you have to do is look at the broadcasters in the United States. You can look at CBS or NBC or CNN and look at the large number of talented people that they have on the air. Nobody has to fight with anybody else for airspace. You carve your own niche, and collectively you are able to enhance the organization to which you belong.
And this morning we'll hear from some of the people who've worked along with David, who have come to the fore because of perhaps a little prod and a little bit of nudging here and there. The guidance, the interaction, and hopefully, and this is my hope, that during the process of this program, we'll hear a little bit more of David Ellis, the person, because one thing he's done over the years quite effectively is reached into the community and brought to the fore people who we may have heard of and seen in one particular style or place. But he's been able over the years to reach in and bring the other side, like he calls it quite often, of their lives. And I'm talking about people at all levels. From running through the archives here, would have seen conversations with Berinda Baby Dukes Cox, the gentleman known as Red Fuzz, Don Donald Dial, or King Dial, and to those who achieved in their special areas, Carol Cadogan, people in buildings, Sir Charles Williams, and other names. But today, we look at the work and times of David Ellis, and we thank those who have joined us to make this tribute possible.
You're listening to A Tribute to David Ellis, A Taste of Achievement. We salute you on your retirement. Brought to you by
C.O. Williams, moving the earth to please, because in our work, we take pride and quality we provide. Kelmart.com, the online superstore with free delivery. BWU Cooperative Credit Union Limited, you are better with us. 1359 Zen, the rejuvenation location. Lorry Dash, the original craft shop exclusively on Bay Street. Satisfy your creativity at the craft shop. Cooperators General Insurance, insurance the way you want it to be. Solar Watts, powering the future. Carter's General Store. At Carter's, service comes naturally. Paint, lumber, hardware, and a whole lot more. Clayton's Cola Tonic, reach for the next level. Sagicor Life, wise financial thinking for life. Country Kitchen Essence, so full of flavor. Alcolado, protect yourself with Glacial. Septic Solutions, Barbados' number one grease trap and septic service. Cave Shepherd Card Services, Williams Equipment Rental, for all of your rental needs. VOB 92.9 FM, celebrating 40 years in 2021. And Starcom Network Inc.
As we continue this special Brass Tacks of Friday with a tribute to David Ellis, one of the persons with whom we've had some discussion and we've reached out and they've responded in a positive manner is someone who's worked with him through many a year. The last position that he held here at the company was Managing Director, CEO, but he's held other positions in other companies. And I particularly paid attention to this one because he too is supposed to be retired. But it seems like former broadcasters never truly hang up their headphones. They simply start new stations. So perhaps there is a path here for David to follow. We hear from former MD CEO, broadcaster Vic Fernandes.
Hi, I'm Vic Fernandes, and it's an honor and a privilege to be asked to speak on behalf of David Ellis, a little tribute to David Ellis. What can I say about a man like David Ellis? Well, David Ellis and I go back many, 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 many years. We started at CBC. He came some years after me, and he didn't stay a long time at CBC. David Ellis was a cast Well, he went somewhere very quickly because he left CBC along with Julian Rogers and Linda Waldron and went to the big RA in Montserrat, Radio Antilles. And it was at Radio Antilles that David Ellis first made his name, because Radio Antilles was the big RA. It was heard across the Caribbean because it was an AM station. This is long before Facebook and you know, online audio and that kind of stuff, and internet and that kind of stuff, and so on. So David Ellis made his name on a big RA, the AM station that was all over the Windwards and Leewards, and was quite popular here in Barbados too as well. It was heard in Guyana, was heard in Trinidad, and I'm not sure about Jamaica, but it was certainly heard in the Eastern Caribbean countries. Then around, I believe, 1979, what was then Barbados Rediffusion Service Limited, they got a license to broadcast wirelessly. Now, just to set the scene, in Barbados at that time, you had CBC Radio, and you had Barbados Rediffusion Service Limited. That's it. One was an AM station, the other was a cable network that ran cables to the house, copper cable, and you got the service and you paid the service for it to Rediffusion. Once the company was localized and was bought by the Nation Group, a license was immediately granted to Barbados Rediffusion Service Limited, and Voice of Barbados was born. It misfired in the beginning. And then a new team was brought in, led by Julian Rogers, Linda Walran, David Ellis, Dr. Allison Leacock, Kent Jordan, Patrick Gollop. These all made up a fairly formidable team, and Voice of Barbados became a legendary station, led by David Ellis on the news front line. And David developed a whole range of news products. Tell It Like It Is was one of those news products that was developed by David Ellis. And that program ran in the evenings from about 6 until about 7, 7:15 or thereabouts. And it was quite a popular program, Tell It Like It Is. In 1987, I left CBC. Now, let me state, I was never general manager at CBC. I was the deputy general manager at CBC. And I was invited to join the Rediffusion team with a view to becoming the general manager, which I subsequently became the following year. One of the things that you learn as a leader, and I did become the general manager, then a few years later, the managing director and CEO, and then more subsequently, the regional CEO for the One Caribbean Media Network, running the stations that we had in multiple countries. One of the things that you had to do as a good leader was to assemble a team of people around you that would give you support. So with the help of David Ellis and others, we were able to create several brands. 104.1 was initially Yes FM, then Love FM, and now 104 The Beat. And David Ellis had the task of producing news content for these multiple platforms, because there was Voice of Barbados, there was 104. Then in 1997, the writing was on the wall for the Rediffusion Service Limited, Rediffusion Service. So we closed that service down on the 30th of November, 1997. And the following morning, we opened Hot 95.3. The rest is history, as we said. Subsequently, we also produced 97.5, the gospel station. VOB was then turned subsequently into an FM station too as well. But here's the thing. You have a news product, but you have multiple brands with different demands. And so David Ellis and his team, without adding to the team, had to be able to create products that would suit the various brands. The listener to 95.3 FM is not going to be the same listener as Voice of Barbados. That person doesn't want a 20 or 25 minute news bulletin. They want 5 minutes of news, short, snappy, fast. So David had that unenviable task with limited resources of developing various news products for the various brands that we had in what was then to become Starcom Network. He was also part of that whole rebranding exercise, an exercise that I have to tell you was resisted initially by the board, but subsequently agreed to. And that decision to rebrand from Barbados Rediffusion, my argument was it bore no relevance to what we were doing at the time. We needed a brand that spoke to who and what we were and what we would become. So we kept part of the name, which was Star, and that's hence the part of Star and the Com for communications, hence Starcom. And since we had a network of stations, four stations, network, and naturally, for legal purposes, incorporated. That wasn't my idea, I have to say. That was an idea that came from Peter Danakis working with me and my team to create a new brand. And once the board bought into the idea, we were able then to launch this massive campaign to launch what is now Starcom Network Incorporated. Otherwise, we would still be known today as Barbados Refusion Service Limited with no relevance to what we are. David was part of that exercise, part of the planning, and a lot of planning, a lot of work went into it, the rebranding, letting go of something that had been there for over 50 years, a brand that was established in people's minds and so on. It was a difficult exercise, but we did it. And I could not have done it by myself. I did it with people like David Ellis, the late John Marshall, people in advertising, people in programming, Patrick Gollop, all of the people who played a critical component in developing these various brands, Dennis Johnson on Love FM and so on. Yeah, don't want to leave anybody out, but this is about David Ellis. This is not about anybody else today, yeah? One of the things though, I want to take you back briefly to something when I was at CBC. Tom Adams was the prime minister, and there was an interview coming up or planned where he wanted to be interviewed, and he wanted to be quote unquote put under pressure, whatever that meant, and asked for David Ellis from Barbados Rediffusion to come and interview him on CBC television. Well, Lord, come for your word. Look at trouble, right? There was obviously a great deal of annoyance, anger, hostility to the idea that a journalist from a competitive radio station should come and interview the prime minister exclusively on our television service. But it was done. And it was a really good interview. I remember that interview well. And one of the episodes I remembered in the interview was Tom Adams was under some pressure publicly about the purchase of Alaricor, how much money we paid for it, how much money we spent to refurbish it, and so on. And David was onto it like a, you know, pit bull. And he had Tom Adams backed up into a corner at one point, and he said, "Prime Minister, I understand a lot of money was spent on the—I'm paraphrasing here—on the refurbishing of the bathroom and so on." And Tom Adams sniggered in his usual sniffy style. He said, "No, David, it was only an old cast iron bathtub that we refurbished, you know." And I remember that particular line very much because it was part of the interaction. It was a great interview, and people talked about that interview for a long time to come. That interview demonstrated what I've known about David Ellis throughout his career. Absolutely fearless of any prime minister, any leader. He respected them, but they had to respect him too as well. And he would have served during the period of Errol Barrow, Tom Adams, Maurice St. John, Erskine Sandiford, Owen Arthur, David Thompson, Frondell Stewart, and now Mia Motley. So he basically worked as a journalist with every prime minister this country has ever known. So let me bring it back now to Starcom Network. And a couple of things I could spend the whole day, and we obviously don't have the whole day to talk about David. Others will have a lot to say, and they will do their own recollections. But here are a few of mine. Now, we also traveled together. We went to the National Association of Broadcasters trade show. David was a great traveling companion, great raconteur, good person to be around. And I regard David not just as a work colleague, but as a friend, and as a close friend, and as someone I could trust. And I remembered in the early days, I had some rocky days when I came over and became the general manager. Obviously, you're coming from the competition and you're coming in at the top and so on. You know, the welcome mat wasn't rolled out by every single person, but that's okay, right? But one of the things I could say for without question is that in David Ellis, I had somebody who was loyal, who was supportive, who was committed. And that quality is one that cannot be bought. It can't be purchased with a salary offer or anything like that. Totally loyal and committed to what we were trying to do through good times and through difficult times. We had and still have at Starcom Network the 1230 News. The 1230 News, we couldn't give it away because we were up against the program at CBC, which was the most popular talk show, which I also had a hand in developing when I was at CBC, called Gutter Perk. And on that program was the incomparable Elombe Motley, one of a kind. Yeah. And CBC and Elombe, that's a story for another platform, had a falling out. And that falling out created an opportunity for us. We couldn't come up with a concept that would work in the mid-morning because at 12 o'clock in the day, you had Gutterberg coming on and it used to just beat us into the ground. Numbers were clear, they were ahead. When Elombe and CBC fell out, I think it was either a Wednesday or a Thursday, but I know that on that Friday, I had lunch with Elombe and I also walked with a contract. I was that confident. David and I had discussed the approach, and the idea was that we would start a program called Down to Brass Tacks. Not getting down to brass tacks, down to brass tacks, which is a Bajan term. Yeah. And we would do so on the Monday morning if we could get Elombe on board. We saw the chink in their armor. It was gone now. They had an opening and we could go in and seize it. And Elombe and I had lunch at the Waterfront Cafe. And I put the contract in his hand after we agreed on the terms. And he signed it and I came back and David went wild with promos. And on the Monday morning at 11:30, ahead of CBC's Gutterberg program, we started Down to Brass Tacks with Elombe Motley. And the rest is history. That program grew in popularity. It started at 11:30 till 1, David producing it, David on top of things, but Elombe anchoring it. Then it went from 11:30 to, and why did we go to 11:30? Because the competition was going to come on at 12, so we wanted to get a jump on them. Then we went, realized it was too popular. People were complaining they couldn't get in the calls, so we went to 11 o'clock. And then we went to 1:30, and then we went to 10:30, and then we went to 2 o'clock, and then we went to 10 o'clock, and eventually we ended up at 4 hours. At some point, we actually had a discussion about extending it even longer. And I think David said in a management meeting, oh Lord, Mr. Fernandez, you want to kill me or something? You know, and we left it at 10 until 2. And it has remained the dominant call-in program of Barbadians. We subsequently closed Tell It Like It Is because it was just overwhelmed by the popularity of Down to Brass Tacks. And it was the genius of David Ellis that made the execution of Down to Brass Tacks what it is today. So I give him full credit. And I remembered well when the falling out came with Elombe. And again, that's a story for another place, another time. And we've all long mended fences on those things. And the morning that Elombe literally on air resigned, and I've never seen anybody do it before, not in my career. That was the first time. I think it was the only time it happened to me. When he started the program the morning with his opening sequence, you could tell that something was amiss. And he and us did not agree on a particular approach on a particular matter. And he took what he regarded as his principal position and we did ours. And we knew in the opening that something was happening. I called David and confirmed that he was listening. David was listening. And then after Elombe finished his comments, he referenced a comment that his father, the late rugged Ernest Dighton Motley had said to him, my father told me so and so and so and so. And then in the inimitable style of Elombe, he said, "Agone," packed his bags up and walked out to the studio. I sat there in my office, frozen, listening to the radio. We went to commercials, and when the commercial break was finished, this is what I heard. "This is Down to Brass Tacks. I'm David Ellis. Let's take our first call." And away we went. And subsequently, we brought people like, you know, Father Hatch and Dennis Johnson, and in more recent times, Peter Wickham and Corey and others who have come to the program. But it was David Ellis stepping up to the plate on that fateful morning and anchoring that program and proving that we could survive without Elombe and that we could continue to grow Down to Brass Tacks and remain the dominant public affairs station in Barbados. So hats off to you, David Ellis. He didn't flinch. He didn't, you know, it was just the most confident thing I've ever heard. "This is Down to Brass Tacks. I'm David Ellis. Let's take our first caller." And no reference to what had just happened before. And away we went. I remember that. So that was brilliant. He had a Sunday public affairs program too as well that was absolutely brilliant. But one of the programs that I also remembered, and this for me, I have to say that I'm surprised that this is not in book form. I'm surprised that it has not been expanded and not been brought back to the station. I don't know why, but there was a series that David did. There was a point at which there was a discussion going on about Black Barbadians and whether Black Barbadians were had an opportunity to be part of the business community of this country, and whether it was just the, you know, the planter class that had taken hold of the whole economy and so on. And without referencing the racial or other overtones of that debate, David came up with an idea to do a program called A Taste of Achievement. It was a 15-minute program, as I remembered it. And he would take successful Black entrepreneurs and feature them and give you an insight into how people built their businesses, how people made a difference in Barbados. I remembered several of them, James Husbands being one of them. I remember another one with Neville Rowe from Julianne. And that program was absolutely brilliantly done. And to me, that program should really be expanded, because there are several other local Black entrepreneurs who have emerged since that program was done back in the 1990s. It was an absolutely brilliant piece of work. So what can I bring it home and say about David Ellis? He's led the organization since I left the organization as station manager. Others will speak to those qualities. But above all, there are two things that stand out for me about David. One is absolutely fearless approach to integrity in journalism, ensuring that the news was always balanced, that it was fair, but it was also fearless. I remember David Ellis and I working and planning things like election night coverage, where we would beat the pants off of the competition. Sorry guys at the time, but you know, you ran second. Yeah. We had the team out in the field. David would plan for weeks and weeks and weeks leading up to the election. We would be planning how we were going to execute. And co-anchoring in the studio on a night was, for me, one of the highlights of my career is anchoring election night coverage at Starcom Network. It was a ride like no other. And some of them were absolutely memorable. And the last one I anchored was the 2013 election, which went right down to a cliffhanger. And that night was, you could cut the ear with a knife inside the studio at Starcom Network. So I remember those things too as well. Brilliant as a journalist, brilliant in the execution of his news product, ensuring that you had news tailored to suit the particular style of the particular station. No question about it. The premier electronic media journalist in Barbados over the last 40 years, hands down, David Ellis. Can't take that away from him. And David, I hope one day, sooner rather than later, that you will join me along with the other Hall of Fame broadcasters in that hall and that wall of fame at the Caribbean Broadcasting Union. I know the standards to get into it are very high, but if I made it, I think you could scale the wall too as well, and you could make it in there. So I hope that you will be recognized for your work. His work therefore stands and speaks for itself. I think every prime minister of this country has shown David Ellis deference and respect as a broadcast journalist. But above all, David, I regard you as a friend. And they say it's lonely at the top. And unless you've sat at the top, you sometimes don't know how lonely it is. And David was always one of those sounding boards. I had a few of them, a few people who made it possible. The late St. Elmo Walker, the late Vioma Ali, David Ellis. And I have to tell you, there are times when you're very lonely sitting in that seat and you have to make some tough decisions, sometimes decisions that affect people's lives and livelihood. That's not an easy thing to do, but David never let the team down. He stood by the team and you knew that David had your back and that he would be supportive, however difficult the situation is. So above all, yes, I respect and I value your work, but above all, David, I value your friendship. You've been a great friend, and I hope that the journey has not ended. I know it has not ended, and I know that our friendship will continue. I hope you enjoy whatever it is you're setting out to do. David Ellis is not a man who's going to be silenced. I know that. I know that we are going to hear from you some more, a lot more, because you have a lot more left in your tank to give. Thank you for the years. Thank you for your support. And I wish you all happiness and success in the endeavors that you undertake in the future. I'm Vic Fernandes. It has been my privilege, my honor, to say these not so few words about my friend and colleague of many years, David Ellis. Thank you.